So I'll call the meeting to order. The first item is recognition that we're holding this meeting on the unceded territory of the Salish people, in particular our friends to the west, Kwalalchin First Nation. The agenda. Are there any changes required to the agenda?
Yes, I would like to ask if we could please have our topic of the 10 Kwalalchin Beach residents under the cell tower that did not receive proper notice from TELUS. They have safety concerns. So I'd like that to be as a record on the agenda.
Okay. Is anybody opposed to that, having it on the agenda? Seeing none, then the agenda will be adopted as amended unless there are further changes to the agenda. All right, then the agenda is adopted as amended by consent. The minutes. Yes, I have the minutes of the last meeting, which was September 8th. Any errors or omissions in the minutes? Then the minutes are adopted by consent. Any business arising from the minutes other than the one that Carol just raised? All right, recommendations. There are, that is one. And you have it in front of you, that to have a report on options for a pilot program to look at the reduction of speed limits in the Chartwell subdivision. So perhaps we could open the floor for any comments that someone may have about this particular item. Seeing no hands.
I'll speak to that if I could. Okay. I'm the Chartwell representative. There is a movement foot in the subdivision that some people think the speed is set too high for the conditions on the street. I don't know whether that there was a petition that was taken up, and I don't know whether that got to council or whether it didn't get to council. But I haven't heard anything about it for a while, but There are some streets that cars seem to go fast on, and I think they're trying to avoid the school zone on Bennett. So they go in Mira Loma and then go down Chartwell along Sunrise, and those are the main streets that people seem to be complaining about, the speed limit. I walk it a lot, and yeah, I see some people speeding, not excessive, but there are some speeders, no doubt.
Okay. So what would your recommendation be from your perspective, Bill?
Well, if we lowered the speed limit on the street, I'm not so sure that would solve the problem, because people don't, you'd have to train the people that they got to read the signs. A lot of people don't bother to do that. They'll go the speed limit or get over. So, but perhaps lowering the speed limit may have some effect. And it certainly would take some pressure off in respect to the people that are not happy.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Mr. Weir to weigh in on this. Bob, what is your thoughts on this?
Well, I put my hand up there because in response to this, motion, we put out our speed reader devices on Mira Loma and Chartwell just to gather some information to get a sense of the problem or not, to try and base a recommendation on that. So where our findings were that I think the problem areas were Chartwell and Mira Loma predominantly, because those are the routes that people take to sort of miss the school zone, as Bill says. So on Chartwell, the posted speed is 50, so we collect data called V85 and then percent exceeding posted speed. So V85 on Chartwell Boulevard is, for the cross section, both northbound and southbound, is like 41 kilometers an hour in a 50 zone. So there is no problem with the speed as we see it. 1.7% exceeding the speed limit. So on Chartwell, we don't see a problem. On Mira Loma, it's a little higher. Posted speed is 50. The cross section V85 is 58 kilometers an hour. V50 or The average speed, the average, is 47. So again, not indicating a huge problem. So I think just trying to post a different speed doesn't necessarily have the result that you want. And at the recent traffic safety committee meeting that we have with the RCMP and ICDC, the RCMP were very clear to point out that even if municipalities change their speed limits, they can't expect that the RCMP are going to come and enforce posted speed limits that they think are unreasonable or on very low traffic roads or in areas that there are not real safety hazards. They will concentrate their efforts for our three municipal members in areas where they think there are real problems. So that was just sort of a warning from him. Our preliminary data kind of points that there is not a real problem here. I mean, I think the RCMP are the first to admit that people speed everywhere. That's their nature. They will drive the road. I think if anybody has driven to Nanaimo and the posted speed, you know, whatever it is, you probably find yourself doing, you know, 15 to 20 over, or that is the general flow of traffic. So in this case, we don't see a huge issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. So based on that, Bill, and you live there, you hear more about this issue than anybody else probably. Would you be prepared to make a motion for a recommendation from the committee to council?
I haven't heard anything for a while, so I think it's as Bob said, probably it's not an issue. So I'm prepared to make a motion that we leave the speed as posted and not make any changes in Chartwell.
Okay, could I have a seconder for that? Thank you, Sandra. Further discussion? All in favor? Opposed, if any? Motion carries. Thank you. Thanks for that, Bill. Then there is the status, and there is no update on that. New business. Bob has looked carefully, in depth, with others about some of the issues that have been raised by different resident associations and the pedestrian crossings and so on. Bob, can you, with these 5 points in mind, give us a general overview of what we can expect when it comes to working with our consultant and the age-friendly traffic study?
So are you talking about the items under 6.1?
Yes, please.
Okay, so pedestrian crossings for Highway 19, we had council direction to prepare designs for Hemsworth Road and the Shady Rest by Rodway Trail. And both of those designs are complete, and they will be going out to tender this week. Parking at Waterfront 19A, that is a grant program. The initiative there is to try and infill the ditches on the south side of 19A to create a better and safer parking and have more of a multi-use pathway that would go alongside the parked cars for pedestrians and cyclists. We are at the point of trying to prepare a presentation to council to show them what we found. We were trying to incorporate a little more angled parking, but we did some geotechnical investigations and found that was going to be very problematic for us. So we will be taking a bit of a site plan to council and also trying to initiate a discussion on where along the waterfront they may want some additional crossings or traffic calming measures. Age-friendly transportation plan, there was some general discussion that this was going to be undertaken in the fall, although staff resources and staff changes have not really allowed that to happen. What we have been doing is compiling all of the problematic points that have been identified either with this committee or through pieces of correspondence coming into the town and the town's correspondence log. And what we typically do is hand those all over to our transportation consultant, Richard Jadul. He reviews and does a preliminary review, then he comes over on site and we inspect them, usually himself, Luke Sales, and myself. And then he will go away and make some further recommendations. What we have done in the past is then have him prepare a public presentation. I don't know how we might do that this year, but we've, you know, previously we've done it, say, in the Civic Center. He presents all of the issues, gives his sort of observations and findings. We have a bit of a public discussion about it, and then he will go away and complete an update on the East Urban Transportation Plan, including a rehashing of the priority projects presented for council. Age-friendly wayfinding project. I'm not myself involved in that one too much, so I don't know a lot about it. And the Memorial Avenue roundabout, it's functionally complete, although we are not able to put down certain traffic markings because we don't have the conditions where we can do it. It needs to be warmer and drier to put down thermoplastic road marking for the crosswalks and some of the lines that get a lot of wheel traffic on them. And there's some minor landscaping to finish, but otherwise I think it's working really quite well. So
thank you, Bob. And I just wanted to draw attention to the fact that some people from the committee had asked if Richard Adrull could meet with the committee. What I think is more effective and appropriate is to have the committee, if they have any questions from their individual organizations that they represent, to submit those questions to the town. And then I will ask council whether that presentation from Mr. Drool that Mr. Weir referenced would probably wouldn't be in the Civic Center, although things can change, but that it would be something like a committee of the whole meeting or some kind of town hall meeting where people could be participating online. So that's the process that we think is most efficient. Any comments or questions about that? Okay. Then we have the roundtable, and I'll just go around the screen. I'll start with Len Hooper. Len, go for it.
Excuse me. May I respond to Bob Weir and all of this about the traffic, or do you do that in the roundtable? Is this, when do we respond to some of these things? Because
Yeah, that's fine. You can do it at the round table. I did ask after Bob finished speaking whether there was any comments, but you can certainly do it at the round table. I'll get to you shortly, Carol.
Sure.
Go ahead, Leonard.
I have no particular comments today. Happy to observe.
Well, good to have you along, Leonard. Appreciate your attendance. Sandra Hobson?
Both Access Oceanside Association and Universal Access Holton Beach have been in hiatus because of the pandemic. Most of our members are extremely vulnerable. However, the one piece of news I would report is that Jim's Gym, which did house some fitness equipment that was fundraised to purchase, that was purchased through funds raised by UAQB, AOA, and under the auspices of Hughes, was housed there, available for community use. He has been in touch with Universal Access Holton Beach, and they have arranged with Mike Jones to house that temporarily in his garage at his home because Jim's Gym has closed. Pandemic restrictions on fitness centers have just put them financially under. So we are seeking a new home, but this has all just come about. I'm not even sure if it's officially closed yet, but it was only announced 2 weeks ago for sure that Jim's Gym is closing. But we have made arrangements to safely house the equipment, which was purchased with the funds raised, and there will be work on finding a new place to put that for. To allow more fitness participation by individuals with disabilities. It's not really an issue immediately because fitness is one of those activities which has gone by the wayside.
Unfortunately so. I think a lot of the fitness facilities which are critical to our mental health and physical well-being have been seriously hurt by the pandemic.
Absolutely. And you know, Jim's Gym was extremely gracious and certainly was eager and willing to work with us to find reduced cost participation for fitness for people with disabilities and housing and equipment available, but they've just had to close. So we're hoping that we'll be able to get folks moving on something soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandra. Lori Marshall, I don't see your picture, but I see you on this, on the, are you attending the meeting? There you are. Thank
you. I'm just going to turn my camera off. I am representing Qualcomm Secondary School. I don't have too much to report. I do have a question. I know a couple of years ago we were talking about just out front of the school some upgrades to where we park on the gravel or changing of some of the roadway there, and I'm wondering if there is any updates on that. Is there anything happening soon, or are we sort of status quo for the next little bit?
Thank you, Larry. And Mr. Weir, any comments?
They're both identified as sort of like phase one and phase two of traffic calming in front of the high school. Neither project is currently funded in council's capital plans. I think we're going to start with a crosswalk and some nodes to try and just sort of pinch the road a bit there and make the crossing safer. And then it was going to roll up the road through the parking areas with sidewalks and more pedestrian accommodation. But it's not currently an identified or funded project.
The crosswalk, any timeline on that? On that item?
No, we would just have to bring it back and put it in, you know, get it in the capital plan, but it currently is not identified or funded. It's in the age-friendly transportation plan as a priority project, but it hasn't made its way from there onto council's capital plan.
Okay, thank you, Bob. So, Lori, when we discuss the budget, I will raise this, that this was a priority and that you requested a timeline or what to expect from that request. Anything else?
No, thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lori. Bill, any further comments?
Sorry, you're me?
No, Bill Ruckerfield, sorry.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. No, Bill, you good?
No, I have none.
Okay, thank you. Michael.
On behalf of Oceanside Community Safety, again, reminding folks if you do have traffic concerns, Speed Watch is an education program, not an enforcement program. We are back up and running again. We have two boards that are dedicated to the Qualicum Beach area. And sometimes the only reason you don't see them out more often is we need operators. And we will train folks how to use the equipment, how to have access to the equipment. So, again, if you have any concerns, contact the town, contact the RCMP, or you can go to our website where there is room on there to make a request for Speedwatch education. The second thing is we are having conversations with School District 69. And we have forwarded information provided to us by ICDC to change all school zones, elementary school zones, to playground zones. And the reason behind it is that it actually educates drivers that the speed zone doesn't change with PE days, weekends, or holidays. Also, the schools all have playgrounds and or athletic fields where you have you basically there the whole year. And a traffic study done out of Calgary, Alberta, they have instituted this particular plan and they've had a 60% decrease in incidents involving motor vehicles in areas where there's schools. So that is something that's ongoing. To folks that live in Chartwell, they probably won't want to hear that. However, from an enforcement and from an education perspective, it would make those zones much safer. The last thing I'd like to mention, which has nothing to do with Oceanside Community Safety, but has to do with accessibility, is on behalf of the Oceanside Community Track. That program is getting down to the final sprint. October 31st is their deadline. So any organizations that want to donate to a safe running track that's basically available to seniors, students, and for those perhaps that are rehabilitating from injuries, that program is still going. If you need more information, I invite you to go to oceansidecommunitytrack.ca. And that's all I have for today.
Wonderful. And thank you for all your help, Michael. I've often suggested to people who complain about speeding in front of their house to consider joining your group. Thank you. Bill McClendon.
I don't have anything specific other than some questions. I'm just getting my feet on the ground. There was a question from our council, and I'll hold this book up. I don't know if you can, it's called Emergency Preparedness and Guidebooks, and I remember getting one of these years ago when I first arrived, and I wondered if they're still accessible or are they only on the internet.
Michael?
Through the chair, I'm very pleased to say that if you go to Town Hall in Qualicum Beach, outside of the Community Safety Office, which is located facing chambers, there are books available outside to the public. So they are still available, and if you need additional copies, by all means, go to Oceanside Community Safety Office. Leave a message there, phone our office. We can get you lots of them. I know that they have about 700 booklets in stock available to us.
Thank you, Michael.
If there's someone who has special needs who would like some information about the unique needs or how to prepare for emergencies with unique needs, the Access Oceanside website has a resource available that addresses different types of disabilities, and we do still have a few Braille copies which are available by contacting us. You can again do it through the website.
Thank you, Senator. Does that help, Bill?
It does, yes. I'll make sure that goes in the mix with our, from our council meeting. I've got a couple of other questions, and they're, I don't know much about them, but the meeting points, if there is an emergency, is that still at the Oceanside for our area, or has it changed? It's information that doesn't seem to be out there in the general public.
I'm going to have to...
I can answer that.
Oh, you can? Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. There is no specific designated meeting place published. It will be announced depending on the direction of threat. Maybe okay. Our evacuation might be away from the water if we have a tsunami. Maybe it might be toward the water if there's a forest fire. So they no longer designate escape routes or meeting places until the threat is assessed and that decision is made by the emergency preparedness coordinators. This is something I researched in preparing the handbook for emergencies if you have special needs. So that's their stand, and it makes perfect sense when you think about it. We have limited escape routes and we have multiple potential sites of threat. So this is why they don't announce until the time.
Thank you, Sandra. I do know when we've had issues with floods and storms where people were cut off from going to Porto Bruni. We had a welcome center, registration center at the Civic Center on Clark in Baltimore mm-hmm. Beach near the swimming pool. Any other questions, Bill?
Yes, thank you very much for that. One more question. And I full knowledge that the use of these pieces of equipment, or this piece of equipment I'm going to ask about, requires some training, but it was a question around where the defibrillators are located. Do we have some that are identified, some places?
Yeah, we have several. I don't know if I can recall where they are everywhere, unless some of the members are more familiar.
Sure. Let me ask it a different way. Yeah. Is there a site we can go and look to find out so it can be published
yes.
or sent out to the
but
members?
It's a good question, Bill. I'll ask our staff, Ms. Svensson, to have that report ready when we meet at the council next Wednesday. As to where these defibrillators are. I know they're in a variety of locations.
Perfect. That's all I have. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, I'll just make a note of that. Carol and Fred.
Thank you. Thanks for having Fred and I together. I've had a few health concerns, so I'm asking Fred to give me a hand. I really appreciated, Sandra, your information. About the handicap information and also knowing about how to respond of whether it's water or fire. We've gotten some wonderful information from Rob Damon that it's really nice to hear it from our group here, isn't it? So thank you for that, Sandra. I'd like to present Todd's questions, and Bob, you may have already answered these, but for the sake of my just being able to do this 1, 2, 3 year, could you help me out? So he's saying here, please provide an update on the Hemsworth and Highway 19A crosswalks and traffic calming measures construction. And if I heard you right, Bob, did you say that there was a design happening?
Yeah, and going to tender next week.
Say again?
Going to tender next week.
Oh, wonderful. That's really good news. Removal of the speed limit sign on Highway 19A near Hemsworth Road post-roundabout construction. We understand from Councillor Filmer and agree this was an error removing it. When will it be replaced?
So that, actually, it wasn't a speed sign. It was one of the ones that was covered during construction. And it turns out that it was actually a seaside route sign for the highway, which had no bearing if we were putting everybody through a detour. So it was covered up. I think people perceived it was a speed sign. And when we started to take all the signage down and reestablish the signage after the roundabout, we realized that it was just a legacy sign from an initiative about 20 years ago, so staff removed it.
Okay, great. I just made a few notes on that. 3, when will council receive the town staff report on speed/car-activated signs on Highway 19 near Milner Gardens-Hemsworth Road, speed zone drop from 70 km to 50 km as ordered in Councillor Westbrook's past motion?
Well, I'm happy to report that we're making advancements on that. We only used to have one speed data collector. It was stolen, then we replaced it, and we're not being able to keep up with requests and concern areas. So we actually approached ICBC to perhaps fund some of these, and we ended up getting them to cost share on the purchase of 3 additional speed reader devices. So we have now been implementing them all over at the locations. We do have information on 19A at Milner and down by Hemsworth. We've been collecting speeds on Hemsworth. So we should be able to put that report together pretty soon. I think, you know, the issue by Milner Gardens, I think the problem there is that there's no friction on that road. There's nothing really to sort of slow people down, and people perceive it as the highway that it is. So actually, although it's posted as a 70 zone, the V85 speed is about 89. So you have like over 90% of people using the highway exceeding the speed. So it's a question of whether, you know, Is the speed posted appropriate? Because I don't think you're going to get the RCMP to come and start writing tickets in front of Miller Gardens. They probably just won't perceive the danger. As far as the other ones, I've got about 17 different little mini reports in front of me here because I didn't know exactly what I was going to be asked about. And you know, when I get a chance, I want to speak to Michael's concerns about, his perception or his initiative to try and change the signs around schools, because we, as part of the Tunis's request, we did records on Bennett Road with the speed reader activated, deactivated, only on Monday to Friday, and then also including Saturday and Sunday. Now, so the speed reader activated and deactivated were, data was only collected for Monday through Friday being school days. The difference between the speed reader being activated or deactivated, the percentage of vehicles exceeding the speed limit was exactly the same, 89.1%. The average speed went from 40 to 42, so there's only a difference of 2 kilometers an hour, whether it's activated or not. The maximum speed was, you know, 83 to 85, although these are 24-hour counts, so they can also take into data outside of school times. But the really interesting thing that goes to Michael's point is, if we include Saturday and Sunday, the percent exceeding the speed goes to 95.5%, and the maximum speed recorded went up to 122. So there's a real difference on people's perception of whether to what's going on in that zone. If mm-hmm. they perceive it as only a school, they mm-hmm. seem to be behaving themselves a little better Monday to Friday, but on Saturday and Sunday, it's like, you know, anything's game. So it's interesting data as we start to really sort of collect it, and you can kind of really get into the midst of it. But again, to the point about speed reader activated, not a lot of difference. 89.1% is still exceeding, only 2 kilometer difference between, V85 or VMAX, or V-average, I should say.
I really appreciate, Bob, your explanation. I just remembered Doreen Mackay being so concerned, and we are too. We make that turn coming from Qualicum Woods onto the Island Highway there, and I tell you, the people are roaring on Island Highway. Mike, you probably know that too, don't you, at that turn there of, let's say, Hall Road, you know, coming from Qualicum Woods to make the turn onto the Island Highway to go down to Qualicum Beach, and it's... I mean, you've got to look and then look again to make sure, because they come so fast. So we sure need help there.
So I think if you look right now, you'll see that there's 3 of our devices out there. We've got one at Emsworth, where people should have dropped their speed down, one at the point where the speed changes, and one back at Milner Gardens, to try and get a real profile of people's behavior as they travel that section. So I think once we get that data in, we'll probably be in a good position to get that report into council, and it'll be backed up by some interesting facts and figures.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Bob. Now, I don't know if the next one is for you. It's number 4. A resident is asking about follow-up on the speed data results on Hemsworth. Maybe we've been here. She advised that she has never heard back from town staff. When we asked about the speed data collector's report back in October, the report by staff to council was that none of the data had been analyzed. Why is it taking so long to analyze and act on the data collected? Is this question part of what you've just answered?
Well, it is, and we've done 2 setups, if not 3 setups on Hemsworth. I'm just trying to find them. I've got one in front of me that I don't know. So this is Hemsworth, I believe, on the 30K zone, like the very narrow section that's posted as 30. The V85 is 49 kilometers an hour. V average is 37. There's only 379 vehicles a day. These aren't huge exceedances. You know, like, I think you're going to find that you're probably above posted speed most places. But that's one of the pieces. I thought I had another one here, but I don't seem to be able to put my hands on
it. This next question might be related to what we're talking about. And then this is number 5. This resident also asked about moving the speed limit sign out of the trees on Hemsworth at Palm Drive to increase awareness and safety. We're in Hemsworth right now where we're talking about, right?
Yes. So I did talk to staff about that. So that's the section between Hemsworth south of 19A. So that would be between like Dogwood and 19A. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so that's the speed is posted 50, and V85 is 47. The average is 39, 7% speed exceeds. So again, not
did you say speed. That the posted was 50 and the VA was 80?
V85 was 47 kilometers an hour. The average was 39 in the 50 zone.
Hmm. Well, that sounds low, doesn't it?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And people's perception and, you know, what's, you know, if somebody goes by you at 50 and, you know, very close, you perceive that they're going much faster.
I think your question, this last one, was around moving the speed limit sign out of the tree so that people see it. Is that something that the town can bulldoze the sign, or who knows?
I put that to staff to review the location, see if moving it got it in the way of anything. do you want to be concerned about any bus shows? I don't know really much about what goes on there. I think that one of the concerns was that maybe trimming some of the vegetation might have been a solution that could happen and leave the sign where it was. So that has been referred to staff. So I'll check up on where they are with that. They've been a little busy with sort of snow clean up along the waterfront, trying to get
the tents off. Yes.
So things like that.
Yeah, but I think that's all it is, Bob, is just to remove some vegetation away from the sign.
Okay. The number six here was, what is the possibility of getting better speed limit signs near the corner of Chester Road and Qualicum Road and speed tables? This area contains Christleton Park, used by many families and daycare groups with very young children, and also by many students walking to school. I have seen these small groups walking, by the way, in this area that he's talking about. Could it be designated a child or park safety zone with better signage enforcement and possibly examining a reduction of the speed limit?
So that was at Chester and?
Chester and Qualicum Road.
Yeah, okay. By Christleton Park.
Yeah. Well, I think certainly that's one that we can put on a list to have reviewed in the age-friendly transportation plan. That's exactly the kind of point that we want them to come and look at, trying to analyze whether there's an issue or not. Council have not directed the installation of any additional speed tables, I think, until they get a good chance to sort of evaluate whether they're late, the ones they've got or not. The only one that seems to be, from our data so far, being effective at all is the one on Elizabeth. It's made a change, but the other ones really haven't.
Well, I slightly disagree with that, Bob. The one on West Crescent and Arbutus, the corner, people used to come around there heading up Arbutus from there, or sometimes on two wheels. It's much safer now.
Yes, I agree with that one.
And the crosswalk and planning for the roadway trail, I think that was good foresight, and I thought it was very well done.
Yeah. So just to look at the data on Elizabeth, pre and post table installation, the percentage exceeding was about 30% before, and it's 0.4% afterwards. So it's definitely dropped the speed on the road.
Yeah, good job. Anything else, Carol?
Yeah, last one, and we may have covered it already. Who is the consultant for the review of the age-friendly transportation plan? And is that Richard Goodell, who you talked about earlier, Bob?
It is.
Okay. All right, good. That takes care of, when will the public be given the opportunity to provide feedback and input to the consultant and council, and what is the time frame for completion of the review? I think that's all related to that.
Sure. We talked about this morning as our workshop for our budget, so I'll let Bob respond to that as a timeline. Bob?
I think I sort of covered that off in the
you did.
Points under 6.1. It was planned for last fall. We never got to it. We will plan it for this spring. If there's any issues that the committee would like brought up or brought to his attention, we would appreciate it if he forwarded to the town. We'll forward them all to him. He has he sort of goes through them in a preliminary fashion using Google Earth and all the previous work he's done for us and any data we can provide him, say, like the speed data, then he will come over and inspect the sites and make his initial sort of presentation for the public and council. And after that feedback, then we'll go away and make his update to the age-friendly transportation plan. That's the way we've done it in the past. I think that's the way we're proposing to do it now.
Yeah. Perhaps not in the civic center like we used to because of COVID, but we will have a system where people can participate.
So I think this last question is just around what you just said, Tunis and Bob. We would ask that the existing report referenced in the minutes of the September committee meeting by Mr. Weir on speed reader / car activated signs be shared with members of the Public Safety Committee. So will that be done in some way? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, for my part, I would like the entire community to hear what Mr. Weir just said. I commend you, Bob, for keeping such close tabs on all the requests that come in, and they're not, and there's many of them, plus the bigger capital projects, And I know I've seen your desk. You've got a report on every single request that we have for you. So well done. And it's tough to bring it all into perspective as to the overall picture of speeding. But I do believe that Mr. Dudrul, when he looks at all your reports and reviews all the questions, that we'll get a more complete answer when he makes a presentation.
Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to bring these questions to you. Todd was very concerned and representing several of the people in our community. So I'm going to, thank you very much. So I'm going to turn this over to Fred on the next subject that we had on the agenda to do with the 10 Qualicum Beach residents living under the cell tower that did not receive public consultation process from TELUS.
Carol and I are part of hundreds of people that have been opposing this new cell tower. And the main objection is the safety reasons. There's others, but the big one is safety reasons, particularly for kids and young kids. But it affects us too. If you do any research on electromagnetic radiation, you'll run across just literally a thousand places detailing what the dangers are, especially for the 5G, which is going to be on this tower. Now, TELUS commissioned a survey of 47 homeowners around the tower.
So here's the map that Luke Sales provided me. And if you can see, let's see, we'll get it right here. See in the upper corner here, this is the side that's the Eagle Crest. And the 10 people were located in that area that did not receive the letter. And then going over here to the other side that backs up to the church, there were 4 out of 10 in that group that did not receive the letter.
So whatever process that TELUS's contractor used, it wasn't appropriate or effective. And the town does not seem to have any interest in whether things were done properly or not. The town, our town, doesn't have any tower siting policies like other communities do. And the federal government is very lax. They say they accept whatever the town tells them. And the responsibility then seems to fall to the town. And the town has not done anything, doesn't seem to care, and doesn't respond to these letters very well at all.
And just to give you, I have sent this to you too, Miss. This is a 26-page PDF with all of the correspondence that we had with the ISED and the Luke Sales. And I particularly, if you would allow me, just read a few sentences from these letters. For privacy, I'm not going to provide their names, but we know where they are, and they're in this package, their addresses. This person says, I most definitely oppose this whole thing. This person says, I did not receive anything regarding this and do not approve. This is on Fairways Drive. The previous one was on Country Club Drive. This one is, I did not receive the mail-out package from TELUS, and that person's on Hazelwood. This lady is on Country Club Drive, and she is in the office of the Auditor General of BC and Victoria, and she is really upset that she did not receive a letter on her house. I definitely did not receive it. It goes on, but that's the consistent.
It seems to tell us something like this is really big. They're broadcasting over the whole town, and they're asking 47 houses. I don't like that. But anyhow, of the 47 houses, 10 say they didn't get anything. They evidently did not send it by registered mail. So if it just came in a mail-out packet as if it's advertising, of course people are not going to get it.
Now, if you can read this, this is a 5-pager of what TELUS did. I went and got the copy of what they did give. It says, Dear Resident / does it say owner, neighbor?
I can't. Landowner.
Landowner, there it is. Okay.
And I showed all 47 of these property owners this before we even started talking. Did you receive this? Giving them a chance to read it. And this was the response. That there were actually 12, but two of the people are extremely elderly and had health issues and were not comfortable doing anything more than just saying to me, I'm just saying that to you, but 10 of them did actually sign letters that are concerned, very concerned. And so I think what Fred and I are saying is these owners did not receive these letters, and Brian Gregg from SitePath, who works for Telus, says he sent them, and there's no proof. There's no registered receipt or anything like that. So who do we believe? Do we believe Brian Gregg, who works for Telus, who has a interest to put this together? Or do we believe to our Qualicum Beach residents, who are taxpayers and voters who have lived here for many years? My response is that we should consider strongly our residents here, and so therefore we would like to ask that, let's see, I just wrote it out here. Fred, help me. I'm trying to slow.
Okay.
That there be a motion put forth to the mayor and council requiring an investigation into these 10 Qualicum Beach residents not receiving proper public consultation notice from Telus, and attach the letters, you know, so they can see, that was sent to them and to you. I've been sending letters to mayor and council, and their concern is about the safety of being right under the cell tower.
Okay, so that's your motion. Can you read out the motion again, and then I'll get a seconder from the committee.
Yes, I will. To the mayor and council, requiring an investigation into the 10 Qualicum Beach residents not receiving proper public consultation notice from Telus, and then parenthesis, see attached letters that was sent July 2021, and their deep concern about the safety of being right under this cell tower.
Okay, so the motion is to investigate the issue regarding the 10 letters that apparently the neighboring property did not receive. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second the motion to investigate. I think that this has come up often, over and over, that I think there's two issues here. One is cell towers, if you want it or not. But it seems to me what it has shown is that there needs to be a strong process, and that council should look into creating a process and enforcing it. It seems that Telus did not send notices. I mean, 10 people have said they didn't get it in writing. I think we have to trust that they didn't get it.
Okay, thank you. So that's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor? Oh, sorry, I see a hand up by Jay. Jay? There you are.
That's an old hand. It's okay. Reminding you that if you were finished the round table, you missed me.
No, I haven't missed you yet. No, we're still going around. No, you're still up.
I thought we moved on to the agenda, agenda item.
No, this was also, I asked Carol to bring it up under her round table. Mr. Weir? Your hand is up too.
Thank you, Chris. I didn't know if you were aware, had seen the correspondence come through, but Industry Canada is satisfied with the notification process of the second location.
Yes, okay. We have seen that, Bob, and their last sentence of their letter was that the town of Qualicum Beach has the final, if they decide that they are acceptable to it, then it's a done deal. But we are saying these 10 people did not have a voice, and I think as mayor and council, they need to be represented here by us, not by the feds.
Okay, so
when the fifth cell tower goes up, it would be nice to be straightforward on how it was done.
Thank you, Fred. So we have a motion. It's been moved and seconded. further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Can I see that? Okay, looks to me the majority said opposed. So the motion fails.
Which were the opposed? I saw three opposed and three for.
I thought I saw four going against. Can I ask for another vote? Mm-hmm. I'll ask by name. Jay, were you in favor of the motion? No. Bill McQuinty? No. That's two. Bill Duckerfield?
No.
No. Three. Sandra?
I was four.
Four. Leonard? No. That's five. Michael?
Agree.
Okay. You agree with the motion?
Yes, please.
Okay. That's the majority. So I'm sorry, the majority was opposed. So it will not, the motion fails. Jay, you're next.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'll be trying to be quick. I'm not sure the Carlton Beach Chamber was wondering. There's probably not much we can do about this, but now we have two fully functional roundabouts, one at the top of Memorial and one at the end of Memorial. I think there's one proposed for Eagle Crest. There's a mini one by the new brew pub. Unfortunately, a whole bunch of my fellow drivers on the road still, after many, many, many years, don't know how to use a roundabout. And it's kind of entertaining, actually, if you sit on the corner and watch people try to function in the roundabout. You could sell tickets. However, on a serious note, and we're not sure that there's anything that can be done about it. I mean, we have a speed watch. Can we have a roundabout watch? Or can we contact ICBC or the RCMP, maybe an article again in the paper, but people don't read, people don't attend meetings, and that sort of thing. But just trying to re-educate people on the proper use of a roundabout. And that's our point.
Thank you. Yeah, it's always, I was just looking at some old articles when we were proposing the roundabout at Rupert and Memorial. And there was a lot of negative feedback from people. I'd say 50-50 that said, well, in Edmonton they don't work, down in Victoria it doesn't work. But once it became, people got used to it, they wanted them everywhere. We talked about that this morning. We were going to have traffic lights at Village Way and the Island Highway for Eagle Crest area, and then the Scott roundabout came about, and they said, we want one of those. So it's been a very popular ride, and I believe, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, that the province has indicated that when you're making improvements or changes to an intersection, that you need to consider the option of a roundabout first, correct?
Yes, you actually have to prove why a roundabout wouldn't work.
Yes, so as far as educating people on the use of it, Bob, any other thoughts how we could enhance that?
Well, sure. Well, I think there's a couple of issues, and I think Jay's brought up some very good points. The little mini roundabouts that are on Berwick and Second, they will be finished with pavers and designed so that any kind of delivery vehicle can drive over top. So they are quite small. They're just really to sort of encourage people to not use what will be the pedestrian-oriented street of part of Second Avenue when it is all said and done. But they're not meant to be an obstruction to any kind of commercial deliveries. The only one that has a little bit of an unusual requirement is the one at Memorial Avenue, because it is constrained and quite small by the private properties on the waterfront. And if you actually approach it from the west, you will see a very unusual sign that will show an arrow going right around the roundabout and then going on Memorial. So if you are a commercial vehicle with an extra length trailer, your intention is not to make just a sweeping right-hand turn, because your trailer will track over the sidewalk, but you drive straight into the roundabout, go right around it, and then at Memorial, because your trailer will then track onto the truck apron that is near the center. So that's the only one that's really unusual and requires any kind of special education. We talked about the outreach to, people that either do Class 1 training or, that that would operate kind of very large low beds that might be affected, but we haven't really come up with anything that way. But it's, if you see the unusual signs, that's what it's been saying.
Okay. Anything else that you come to mind, Jay? I know you're a great director of plays. Anything we could do to add some humor to this and how people can learn to use the roundabouts better?
Yeah, I don't know. I go through the one at the top end of the memorial every single day, and every single time I go through it, I see people not using it properly. So that's what the chamber says. We don't really necessarily have any great ideas on how to fix that, other than putting something in the paper that people won't read, or perhaps having some workshops that people won't attend.
Okay, no, I was thinking, because you've got a great sense of humor, I've seen you direct some marvelous plays, maybe we could do a bit of a spoof on it just to have to add some humor to it of how people shoot use a roundabout and what happens.
Good idea.
Okay, we could do that during some kind of chamber event, or make a delegation at the town council and add some levity to the program. Thank you, Jay. Any other comments? I think I've gone around. Don Marshall, you're also on the list. Anything you'd like the committee to know or consider?
No, not at this time.
Okay. This is well, Don, because you're coming in. There with a bit of now. Yeah, your sound is not good. Anything else from the committee? Carol, go ahead. And then Michael.
There we go. Okay. I just want to make sure about the vote. I thought I saw three yes, three no. I think the confusion maybe I have was Len Hooper a yes or a no?
No.
Was a no. Okay.
Yeah. And I counted you for one.
Yeah.
You and Fred. But if I counted them both, it would still be a tie vote. It still would mean it wouldn't pass.
Yeah. No, we only get one vote from this.
Yeah. Okay, so Michael?
Actually, to Jay's point, Oceanside Community Safety, we do put articles in the paper. And one thing, you actually made a good point. We do cell watch and we do up a temporary sign. We can put one up at a roundabout and have one made up when we do our cell watch. And that may be a way of perhaps educating folks a wee bit. So if that might be something, we have in our budget, it cost was $75 to make up one of those little inserts. We've done it for stop signs to remind people to stop at the stop sign. And we certainly can do something to perhaps educate people on the roundabout. So if it's something you think is worthwhile, I got the thumbs up. I will investigate. I'll talk to the RCMP and try to find a very simplistic sign that people can get the image in within 3 seconds of looking at it.
Okay, thank you. But I also know that Jay, with people like Jay, like Gary Brown, with some humor, could add some better sense of understanding. But Bob, how are we doing as far as incidents, whether they're close calls or actual accidents that were recorded? Do you know, on roundabouts?
Well, we've had some little fender benders, but nothing really significant.
No, I know. And this is the thing with roundabouts. The advantages for speeding and for traffic, for pedestrian and bicyclists and cyclists and for the environment, they're all very positive. I've got a letter from the late Faye Smith, who didn't know about this roundabout at the beach, and she passed away a few years ago. But when we had a public input session on roundabouts, she was adamant that for environment protection, for pedestrian protection, that was the way to go, and that's what we should have. So there's a lot of positivity about this, but there's always some who are reluctant to use it for some reason or another. And to me, I can't imagine why it would be any harder than to enter entering a highway when you have to merge and to go into a roundabout where people go only 30. So I'm sold on it. I'm a big fan of it. But there's always things we could do better to help what Jay considers help people understand how to use it better.
The one group who are disadvantaged are the visually impaired pedestrians.
Yes.
Because they need a very clear signal that they have, they need to know that all traffic will stop so they've got a right of way. So we just have to crack that nut.
That's a good comment. Thank you. I saw another hand go up, Bill. Bill Dufferfield.
I don't know if this is the right place, but I'll ask. When is the one going to be done at Billy Way and Country Club and the highway? Is that on the books, or is that way in the future? Mr. Weir can probably answer that.
He could, but it's a council decision. And we heard new upgraded value cost of the roundabout there, which has probably gone up to $2.75 million. And the other, and I've been a big fan of the roundabout there as well. And we had the design done about 5-6 years ago. We spent about $100,000 on getting the proper design, which may have to be upgraded to some degree. But the cost of building it would be about, well, pushing close to $3 million. And the other thing Bob pointed out this morning, or during the council meetings, was that with the improvements that were made coming off Village Way, have reduced incidents, as well as the traffic light on Drew and Johnson, where people who want to go, who insist on going to Parshall, I don't know why, but they want to go to Parshall, and they can go to the traffic light by Johnson and Drew, make a left, make a safe left turn there. Others have changed their habit of driving and coming back from the town, going into Eagle Crest, they go along Memorial Island Highway, and then it's much easier to make a left turn than coming at the end of Village Way and crossing straight across. But Bob, perhaps you could repeat the answer to my question this morning about the safety aspect of the roundabout and the cost.
Well, I don't really think there's much I can add to what you said, since you hit all the major points. Our data collection on accidents has dropped significantly with the minor improvements. We will start to, now that we have more traffic counters, we'll put them up and collect more recent data. But the issue with that intersection is the predominance of movements is from the highway onto Village Way and from Village Way onto the highway. It's not equal in all four directions. Roundabouts work best when they're kind of equally loaded. And, with the minor improvements and improvements at Drew Johnson, we haven't seen the kind of problems in the past. But we will collect more data, for council's consideration and analysis, because it's a huge project. Financially, I know it would improve access to Eagle Crest, but council has to weigh it against all the other challenges that they have.
Thank you, Bob. Anything else, Carol?
Yes, I would just like to say that three of the property owners that I have described to you in this area have moved. They've sold their houses and moved. They were so distressed. So you need to know that. I want that on record to be known. And how would we feel if we had this cell tower coming in and we had not been notified? I ask you to each search your heart. And if I could ask for a re-vote, I'd like to do that.
Carol, we've dealt with this. We had a vote on it. Issues dealt with this passed. So any new comments? Any other issues?
Yes, and the last comment I would make is that there were something like 120-plus residents from Eagle Crest and Chartwell that wrote their letters to Bob Gregg, but there were, and I can show you here, several hundred letters. I know that you received them, Tunis, as well as all of mayor and council, as well as hundreds of petitions. So if you were going to go on the basis of majority rules, there are more people against the tower than are for it.
Okay, Carol, as chair, I have to remind you that the issue has been dealt with, and that we need to move on. So any other items for discussion? Then I thank you, and I need a motion to adjourn. Jay and Michael, any discussion on that? All in favor? Thank you. We are adjourned, and thank you for participation. Okay. Take care. The next meeting, I believe, is in July, I believe. There was a date set there. May 11th. See you on May 11th. Thank you.